You will sleep better than you have ever slept. You've never been this relaxed. Are you ready to change your life?
I'm Rusty Diamond, certified hypnotist. You don't need to leave your house. You can stay in your bed. You can stay in your favorite chair. You just need a computer or your phone. You can get a hold of me. Stay at home. I'll make your life better.
HypnosisIsGreat.com.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.
Yo, man. Boom, it's Rusty. What is happening, everybody? Welcome to the Public Access Podcast, the podcast now in Pennsylvania, the podcast, PA, you know. Thank you, everyone. If you want to watch this show because you're listening on a podcast and you didn't know that you could watch the show, you can watch it on YouTube or Rumble. Just go there. That's pretty easy. Type in the Public Access Podcast. You'll see it. If you are watching this and you're thinking, God damn it, I don't want to look at this guy's face, but I love his guests and I love his content, then you can go anywhere where there's podcasts, probably. Most anywhere you can find the podcast. It's real easy. And it's there for you. And it's free. And free is a very good price. And if you want to check stuff out with me, rustydiamond.net or hypnosisisgreat.com. And now it's time for me to bring on my special guest right here and right now. And my special guest right here and right now is Taylor Proctor. Thank you for being here, Taylor. How are you today?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And I am doing wonderful. I'm super excited and honored to be on the show today.
Me too. Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Awesome to have you here and getting to do this. I forgot to ask about pronouncing your name beforehand, which is something, but I think I got it, maybe, unless it's something.
Yeah, okay. It's a pretty easy name.
Yeah. I
Taylor
hope so,
Proctor.
Yeah.
Nothing fancy happened there.
Yeah. So when I think of it, there was a guy on the Police Academy movies, Proctor, and then that's, I guess, how I remember. Probably not like, I mean, there's a lot of other Proctor, like being a Proctor of a, you know,
test.
Yeah, a test or whatever else. But yeah, that's what I remember was Police Academy. I don't know where I was going with that, but you know, but yeah, usually I try to make sure I have everyone's name, you know, be able to pronounce it right. But I guess I got lucky here. So one for one to start off today, but yeah. So you have your own podcast though too, right?
Yes, sir. It's called Get Good at Business. I am a business coach, and the entire podcast is dedicated to helping entrepreneurs, small business owners, and business leaders get good at business so they can get back into the heart of why they got into business in the first place.
So when you started that, were you just, I've seen some people do this where they go to whatever market they're in, or, you know, whatever city they're in and be like, you know, go to Chamber of Commerce and be like, oh, I'm going to go and start here and get everybody in this city and be the podcast person for the city, like, or everyone goes. But Was that something you started with, or did you just go right and go big, or what was your kind of approach with that?
Yeah, so it's actually interesting. My podcast didn't start out as a business podcast. We've rebranded in the last 2 years. Previous to that, and we, like you, we have over 500 episodes,
Hell
but
yeah.
started out as a happiness podcast. And what I actually did is I did it every day. So I had daily episodes where it was solo shows, and I was talking about happiness and things like that. And I was doing that while I was in a corporate career. And so I was a senior VP of a department that really they threw me the keys and said, make this idea happen. And so while I was growing that department over 3 years, I had started my podcast and I had a certification in life coaching. So I was helping people be happier in their life. And when I so it was all solo shows. So I was just let's go, right? Balls to the wall every day, we're doing this. And after a couple of years, my mentoring clients, my life coaching, my happiness clients, they ended up being all very similar in the fact that they were entrepreneurs and business owners. And they would say, after we'd work together, oh my gosh, like this is amazing. I feel so much better in my life. Now, if I could just get my business where I need it to go. And it was this crazy thing because it was like I was living a split life. There's a whole secret life my clients didn't know about that I literally was running departments and entire companies and doing their marketing and their operations and doing all these things and helping grow. And at that time, I had a team that they threw me the keys to an idea, and we went from 0 employees to 30, from one service to five, from one language to five, from one client to five. And I even spent 6 weeks living in Edinburgh, Scotland, setting up our European team. So, like, Matt, and all of that in 3 years and millions of dollars in revenue. So it was like, I had all this whole secret life that my mentoring clients knew about but didn't know about. And they were like, yeah, I just want to get good at business now. And I was like, there's a perfect marriage here. And so I started rebranding and really looking at being on the business side of things, still applying like happiness habits and stuff like that. And so we shifted the show to be Get Good at Business. And we moved in that direction to really help support those business owners. And we talk about things within the iMOVE method, which stands for intuition, marketing, operations, velocity, and execution. So everything in the show is based around those cons or ideas and concepts within those areas, because I have found if you can get good at those areas, you the rest and everything else starts to fall into place. And so now, actually, as of the last 4 months, the show is actually split into two parts. We have the main show, which is my solo show that we have over the 500 episodes. And then we've started doing interviews with business owners and entrepreneurs because to get good at business, you have to see how other people do it in different industries and things like that. And so we've actually done over 50 interviews with entrepreneurs and business owners for the podcast as well. So it's really that was a long answer to your question of it has evolved. But in the entire time that I've been doing it, never once has it been more in a localized space. It's always been like, let's go big, let's go national, international, and see where that takes us. So, even in our interviews with business owners, last week we interviewed a woman who was from the UK living on a tropical island in Spain, right? Sharing her PR company. And so, we get to see business owners from all types, all industries, and all over the world.
Yeah, and so the part about I have a few things to I guess uncover
Absolutely.
here. So the first thing is you said sorry for talking too long. Don't worry, I mean it's the podcast. It's like I don't want to be like pulling teeth to get answers out of you. So I mean thank you for that. So that makes my job easier. So don't worry about giving a longer answer. And I mean so yeah, I mean it's cool. Like this whole thing, I don't know. It always kind of comes back to this with the entrepreneurial stuff. I mean, with 2020, it was kind of like especially for international business and international business relations, it's been great that people are so. It really, it's so hard to say this, but then like it really opened a lot of people up to Zoom and Zoom type of ideas and being able to have interviews with people that are on the other side of the world easily and not have to go there and really opening up all of this. I mean, the time thing can kind of be a bit of a bitch, but, you know, like with people that are in Australia and New Zealand, it's usually a bit of a pain. But like the alternative of that, spending 24 hours just to travel there one way, like literally 24 hours probably to get there to do anything in person. But yeah, just being able to have these people from all over the world instantly and have, I guess in my case, you know, a podcast up in an hour, hour or two. And yeah, I mean, it's great. Just being able to have, yeah, just this whole different thing. And that people, I think, got a lot more open to podcasts once 2020 hit. Like it was very much, it still is kind of a weird thing, but I think it's really opened up a lot once that happened, and once that people were able to be like, okay, this is like great information, and this is really able to get people's, like, not just, I mean, there's the interview, but then you also get stuff kind of like this, where it's just, you get to like really get to know somebody more on a personal level, more like a conversation. And it's like, that's something that that people can do. Like, it's a cool thing. It's a pretty different style. Or, you know, having the solo podcast, which I did for a little while. And but then, yeah, I don't know. So were you doing like 7 days a week? Were you doing five days a week? Okay, so 5 days
Monday
a week.
Monday through
Friday. I mean, that's dedication in itself. And so were you doing like, what was the editing like on those solo episodes? Were you, what's sort of your style? Are you meticulous about taking out pauses and buts and ums and stuff of that nature? Or is it kind of let it go? And is it easy to translate to other media like the TikTok or the YouTube or Instagram, Facebook kind of thing?
Yeah. So back when I was doing daily, now I do my solo show once a week and I do the interviews up to four times a week. But when I was doing my solo shows every single day, I would just let it go. I have a background in radio, so I didn't really worry about ums, ers, and like long extended pauses or things like that, because when I'm on my roll, I'm usually pretty good. And so what I would do is I would just cut out the beginning and cut out the end, like the dead space, put some bumpers on and rock and roll. And it first started out way before even, and this dates me if you are aware of IGTV way back in the day, but they don't have it anymore. But IGTV was Instagram's video platform. And before I started, before they had that. And so I was doing 20 minute episodes where it was just me talking, all audio. And then they released IGTV and they had the 10 minute cap. And I went, I want to do this on video at the same time. So I'm in my closet and I have my phone in front of me recording on IGTV and I'm recording into the audio and boom, 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 off we go. So everything was live on the fly, but there's not a lot of ums and ers because it's just me talking. I'm not trying to balance back and forth and things like that. And so it really became a streamlined and simple process to be able to do that, which is beautiful because now in my solo show, which is the once a week, and then even in the interviews, I do it all live. And so we don't cut out a lot of those pieces. However, I do have a presence coordinator that's on my team, and I'll send her the videos. She'll create and pull out the shorts, and then we'll put those up on YouTube, Reels, and TikTok. So it started as an evolution of just getting in there, getting it done audio only, to video live, using that audio, repurposing it, to now we do everything live, make sure we're recording the video, then she makes the edits, and we repurpose that into short form content. So it's definitely evolved over the years to be even more streamlined, more efficient, and have a massive emphasis on repurposing, because when I first started out, it was just audio and there was not a lot I could do in repurposing. And now you have audiograms and a whole bunch of other things that I could have done, but didn't have at the time.
What's audiograms?
So it's where you can upload the audio and it will play, it will show a video of the the bars, the sound bars, sound waves. So you can, like, I don't know if you've seen them where they're like circles or the sound waves like on the bar, and it shows that. So it's a video of your audio in the sound bar so people know that they need to listen to it. And this was even back, like, that is a concept that even now people would just add captions to that and that could be their video. So even back then, captions weren't a thing on IGTV. And so you had to actually listen to it or to watch it. And now captions are totally a thing everywhere, which is so great for accessibility. So the technology has been really a wonderful piece to help streamline, make the podcast accessible, and to really helping reach a broader audience. I will also say this, I'm not a fan of editing out. I'm not the kind of person who says every 5 minutes, but I'm also not the kind of person who's a fan of editing it out, because those small stumbles over words, or if I'm saying they're few and far between, but also they show that I'm real, right? It's not a perfection game here. It's about getting the information out there, being relatable, being real, and helping people, and doing that through the medium of a podcast. So I actually don't believe in massive editing either.
Yeah, and it's difficult to get the... Yeah, the real feel of it, if you get the, you know, the choppy edits of, like, sometimes on YouTube, I'll watch people and then you'll have the, you know, the steady camera, and then it's, they'll say something, then it's, you know, the quick switch, quick chop. I don't know if they're just going and, that's also something that I've noticed, is that people who make kind of shorter form videos, it's a totally different thing. It's like it's almost like bringing someone who's in stand up and does only one liners and bringing them on to do a long form podcast. Like, you know, it's two totally different games, and both are very important in their own way, but it can be difficult for the two to mix though.
100%.
And yeah, but I don't know, because I mean, yeah, I appreciate the very well polished podcast or you know, like video or whatever, but it's not what I'm doing, and I don't want to spend the time doing that either, I guess, is kind of the other part of it. I like having it feel more raw and more open, like yeah, like you're just a fly on the wall, and you know, the fly doesn't get the ability to have those cuts taken out or whatever, maybe some sort of uninteresting or dead space. But I don't feel that that's really ever happening. I hope there's no, you know, boring or dead space in it, in the episodes, but if there are, I guess that's what it is. But yeah. And so are you doing like live, as in live, you have people responding to you in comments or anything? Are you doing live, like you're just recording it and then putting it up, like on Instagram? We used to be able to do that. I think you still can, but it usually turned out kind of weird on the finished product, and I didn't like that. Like, I used to record podcasts with a few people, like two or three people on Instagram, and it always looked kind of shitty, but it was cool having people be able to join in and, you know, join the conversation. Is that something you were doing?
I would say it's a combo. So when I do my solo show, I do it all in one take. So it's live for me, but it is recorded. And then that's when we push it out, publish it, and repurpose it and all those other things. If I'm feeling extremely like, cool, let's test things out, I'll put my phone up to the side, hit live on Facebook or Instagram, and say, hey, I am recording my podcast episode. I thought you'd like to see behind the scenes. And then I record my podcast episode. I'm not looking at the phone. I'm recording it how I normally would be. I end the episode, and then I say, you know, any questions, and I can look through and all those kind of things. So that's a way I can kind of get the best of both worlds. And then for the interviews that I do with entrepreneurs, we actually do go live in the Facebook group. So I have a closed Facebook group. We have over 700 members who are all dedicated business owners, dedicated to getting good at business. The name of the group is Get Good at Business. There's a common theme here, but they scheduled interview times, and we go live in the Facebook group. I record that interview also. So we go live in the Facebook group. That's recorded. I take the recording of that. We go in, we edit it with the short form, adding the bumpers, upload that to YouTube, and then share it publicly. So it's almost like an early access live in the Facebook group. And then that's repurposed to public on YouTube.
Okay. All right. And then, so is that keeping you having a steady upload release? Is that like, because the algorithm always changes and stuff with that. Are you like have it so it releases every day at 4 o'clock PM on whatever platform, or is it random whenever it's done, it goes up, or how do you do that?
It's when it's done, it goes up, but we do our interviews in the Facebook group on Mondays at 3 and Wednesdays at 3. And then we just opened up Mondays at 9 a.m. and Wednesdays at 9 a.m. as well. So we've opened up spots to have up to 4 interviews per week. And we get through those actually pretty quickly. So with it, a week later, we have those uploaded and we upload them day by day as needed. So it's really, I wouldn't say it's on a schedule, but we have a quick turnaround that does allow us to post more consistently.
Yeah. I don't know, because that's always something that those I'd see would be said in those. How do you make your YouTube channel better? As you know, put it out something consistently. So it's like every Thursday at 4 o'clock, there's going to be a new episode that drops. Be ready for that. But then, you know, I'll get way ahead of myself. I'll get 35 episodes recorded. And I'm like, well, okay, so this episode's going to come out. It's February right now. So this might come out like November, second week or something. Like, let's talk about something that's not topical and, you know, stuff like that. Exactly. And it's, I don't know. I really like having it like whenever it's going, it's done. So I don't know. I usually don't talk about anything too topical or, you know, like news or, you know, current events that much, but sometimes those little nuggets pop in there and, you know, it's cool to have it out there when it is. So it's like, okay, they were talking about this right then. It wasn't there, you know, here it is. Like, oh yeah, I remember that. That happened a long time ago. I guess that was a thing. I guess that's when they were recording it. And yeah. So then
I think there's two ways to look at that, right? If you are having people on consistently at the same time, every, like I am, right? Mondays, Wednesdays, 3 and 9. If you're having people on at the same time and that is booked out, then naturally your podcast is going to have a natural cadence of a week later that gets posted, that one gets posted in the morning and then the next day and the next day. So I feel like you can have the consistency and the cadence for if you have consistent show times, then it's easy to air because it's like the next day or it's a few hours later and your systems are efficient enough that it's like, cool, boom, boom, boom. Now we've posted. And that can happen consistently without having to have it batched or scheduled, which is the other route, which is, of course, YouTube allows scheduling. So then you could schedule it. But if you're like, man, I don't want to put somebody out clear out till November, then it's like, well, I don't think YouTube's going to dock you if you post twice a week instead of once, right? And so now it's more content coming in and you can be like, all right, we schedule it for Tuesdays at 3 and Fridays at 4. And now that's the cadence. And so I think there's so many different ways that I see a lot of entrepreneurs, and I'm not saying you're getting caught in this, but I see a lot of entrepreneurs get caught up in like, what's the right thing for the algorithm? And I really don't think this is you because you have over 500 episodes. But when I first meet people and they're just kicking things off and they're really like trying to figure out being on camera and their podcast and the content and all those pieces. And they're like, well, what time should I post? And I'm like, I don't think you should worry about that. I think you should worry about getting 21 episodes under your belt, really solidifying that this is what you want to do, that you enjoy doing it, your editing processes, all of these pieces coming together, get through 21 episodes, and then start looking at how do we optimize this for the algorithms on whatever platform we're choosing.
How'd you pick 21?
Oh, so in the podcast world, there's some metrics out there that are, and I don't recall who did the study, so I apologize for that, but I'm sure you could find it if it's Googleable. But most podcasters don't, so 50% of people who start a podcast don't get past episode 7. 50% of that percentage don't get past episode 14, and only 1% get past episode 21. So when you hear people say they're a top 1% podcaster, they're referring mostly to they've passed 21 episodes. So that puts you in the top 1% to pass 21 episodes, because for a lot of people, they think it'd be really cool and then they don't realize how much work it is, or they feel like they ran out of content, or they're caught up in the technology or the editing processes, or they're caught up in the algorithm. And then they're like, well, nobody saw it. I only had 2 listeners because it's my mom and my mom's dog's account, right? And right. So then they're discouraged by the numbers because they're paying attention to that. And it just causes all these problems where a lot of people, 50%, don't even get past episode 7. And 50% of that, so 25%, don't even get past episode 14 and get to 21. You're in that golden 1%. So my suggestion for anyone wanting to do a podcast is get past 21 episodes. Really figure out the nuances of what you do, how you do it, if you like it, all of those pieces of publication, of production. And then now you've got that nailed down. Past 21 episodes, now you can keep on creating that content, but you have that foundation to be able to say, all right, now let's pay attention to how do we optimize this for engagement? How do we post this on this platform to get the most out of it? How do we do X, Y, and Z? But 21 episodes is the mark that most people don't get to when they say they're starting a podcast or a YouTube channel. And so I always say, get to 21, and then let's talk about the nuances of optimization.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that most people just, I don't know, like getting to 21 is, it's a lot when you're at zero, but it's not a lot after that. I mean, 21 you can do in a few weeks, I guess, and be there. And if I had, like, I always tell people this, if I had one thing that I didn't have to do on this, it would be editing. And I've pretty much taken editing out. But now the one thing that I wish I had, but AI does okay, but then I still have to do some stuff with it, is clipping shit out. And I mean, I have fucking, I don't know, tens, hundreds of thousands of hours of content. And just like, I don't want to go through it. I don't want to go through it, but I know it's there. And that's the thing that people need. And like, people want those small forms. They don't want to just jump right into listening to an hour and a half always. I don't know. It's a hard thing, but I know that's part of the game too, is getting into those short form videos and that kind of deal, which is important. And that's something I would outsource, be the first thing I would outsource and have someone be like, I hope you can find, because that's another thing. I think it would be hard for me to determine what I think is more interesting, that I'm, you know, not what more people, other people would be interested in, or what I think is funny. Other people might not think is as funny. And so it'd be nice to have somebody who would be more well-rounded in knowing more what would be good short form content. What are you doing with that?
Yeah, so I have hired someone to help me with that, because I was the same way. I'm like, I have hundreds of videos and content, and the editing is what is slowly killing my soul. And I was like, I could do it, but I'm spending 4 hours editing on a piece that took me 20 minutes. Like, this is insane. And I am an entrepreneur, I'm a business owner. Like, I have stuff I'm doing, like, and I'm not making money from editing my own stuff. And so I was like, I got to hire somebody. So one of the very first things I did, and luckily I already have this in place, so it was really easy to cross it over, but I identified my audience and said, okay, this is who I speak to. This is what they care about. And this is what I speak about. Where's the overlap? And I documented that. And when I hired the person to help me, I said, here you go. So now when she's looking at videos, she's looking for, okay, will this audience who cares about these things align with what she's talking about here? And she pulls that through the transcript, right? So here's the other piece that's easy about that, is if you got the video, put it in, and I did this for a while, and then I was like, I got to hire somebody. But I would just take the video, upload it into Descript. Descript has an automatic transcript section. Then I would take that, put that in a ChatGPT and said, based on this transcript, what are five key areas that I could that are engaging that I could pull out and create short form videos? I still had to edit and create those short form videos, but it was much easier than having to listen to it and be like, oh, there's a spot, there's a spot, there's a spot. And so that really helped a lot. And I'm actually not sure how my girl does it now. That's how I was like, this is how I'm doing it. Do whatever you need to. But luckily, I mean, it's worked out. And she's been able to do it not only for my episodes, the solo shows, but also for the guest interviews. And we've been able to create those in some short form and be really engaging. So how I'm doing it is really doing that outsource piece. But to do that, I identified my audience, I identified what they cared about. I have strong content pillars. So there's nothing that's like suddenly way off brand. It all makes sense. It's within my content pillars and it makes sense for my audience, which makes it easier for her to be able to pull out that short form content that aligns with my brand and ultimately the goal of connecting with my ideal client.
Right. And so are you having, let's see, the other thing I was gonna ask about was social media. Like, what are you doing social media? Are you having other people doing social media? Is that something you outsourced as well, or is that something that you enjoy?
Yeah, I enjoy it. So I do that. But when she creates the short form videos, I ask her to create captions and pull hashtags. So then I can just post the, I can take the video that's edited plus the caption and the hashtags and I can post it. But everything that I do on social media at this point in time is my posting. And my biggest one is Facebook. So I love Facebook and I will post on Facebook and I love writing stories and doing all of those things. And so it really is one of my favorite ways because I believe that authenticity and showing up and building that personal brand is a big support to your business. And social media is one of the best ways to do that. So I actually don't pay a lot of attention to like my business Facebook profile. I do a lot on my personal Facebook profile because that's where the audience actually is and your stuff can get seen and it's more relatable than kind of stuffy, here's my business profile. So
Yeah, and I think that can get, especially if you're having multiple businesses and multiple pages that you have to go for and upload to, and it's not just one spot. You can just put it in the Taylor Facebook there, and it's all there, and you got it all. And so then, when you have, do you have any issues with guests ever? Are they all like ones that have been pretty vetted and are already in your group that you have on your podcast, and so they probably is a less chance of them no showing, or is there still no shows or anything of that nature? Is that ever something you're coming across?
I do have the occasional no-show, but I would say it's less than 2% of the time. So they join the Facebook group. Then from the group, there's a featured image or featured post, and that is where they can fill out the questionnaire and schedule their interview time. And then we send out reminders and things like that. So it's technically not something we really run into a lot of, but there's occasional like, hey, I have an emergency, I have to cancel. And at which point, for me, I'm going, it's a half hour live, and if I don't go live that day, that's okay. I had three others throughout the week. So I'm really flexible on that. And I think that flexibility plus the setup that we have really invites people to show up and attend, come live, and then get the full benefits of being a guest. So I haven't had much problems with that. But also I think a lot of it is the setup and the way that I have filtered those guest opportunities, because it is up to them to fill out the form to do all these things. And so it really supports, like, if they're not 100% in, like, they're not willing to fill out a form, they're not willing to be a guest. And I don't ever know that. Like, I'm not worried about that. As opposed to, like, hey, let's talk and hop on. I would see a lot more, I think, if that was the case.
Yeah. And I mean, I get shit on mine for some people that are saying, because I won't, I don't know, I have trouble with Calendly, I guess, is my issue. Because I don't know, like, when I'm like, well, here you can pick a slot, but I don't know if it would have to be like a 6 hour slot, because like if I like to record between 7 in the morning and like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I just have one, so like when they choose that time, would it block off the whole 6 hours and then they think it's like a 6 hour, 7 hour podcast?
I actually don't use Calendly. I know it's a standard for a lot of people, but I use a system called Setmore. And what it is I can build out services. So I have built in a 45-minute podcast interview. So it's actually a half hour with a 15-minute buffer. And that's the service. And then I send that link and I have set it up where that service is only available at 3 and 9 on Mondays and Wednesdays. And so that's the open space for that. But I also have it connected to all my calendars, so it only shows the availability. But it's that 45 minutes for the service that then allows me to work my calendar like that. But I'm not familiar with Calendly because I use Setmore. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's cool, 'cause I'm the Calendly. I'll check my calendar and then I will, see what's available. 'Cause like if someone is in whatever, Australia or something, like getting them to do a time that's easy for them and easy for me, like it might be like a 6 in the morning one for me, but then I don't like doing shows after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, because then I'm not there. And so it's hard. It's fucking, I would like another way, but I don't know what it is yet. And so in the meantime, I'm doing that, but I'm also vetting people. And then I have people that, I should do the thing where I have them send, fill out some link, but I don't know. I don't know if that felt impersonal to me, but then it also takes out a lot of time though too, that I wouldn't
Right.
have to do stuff. And then yeah, still for the most part, I can usually tell who would be a good guest. I feel like I'm getting pretty good at that now, as to who will be engaging, who's not. And also, 95% of the people that I get that say they represent somebody else are almost always trouble for me, in one way or another. I have one guy that his name is Mickey, and he goes and books out his a whole bunch of authors, and I've had great things about with him. He's been awesome. And but the other ones, I feel it's, I don't know, I feel there's some sort of disconnect with that. Are you having people reach out to you that you can kind of figure out before are gonna maybe not be a good guest? Or where do you go with that, and how do you handle that? How do you handle the vetting process?
Yeah, so a couple of things. One, with the different time zones, there's a free tool and it also is a free app, but I like the desktop version. It's called worldtimebuddy.com. And you can type in the time zones and then it will show you a chart of like, okay, noon, one, two, three, right? And it will show you the time zones. And so if you're like, oh, I'm in mountain time, so 1 o'clock mountain time, you click on that and it will drop down and show you, if I chose Australia time zone, what time it is there. So it's
Okay.
really nice visual to be like, hey, and I just screenshot it. Hey, this is the time that we talked about. Is that the time correct for you? And they tell me what their time zone is, and that's where I put it in. And it helps tremendously. Additionally, when I look at that kind of stuff as an entrepreneur, I go, all right, is this worth my time? I love to say I have people coming in over Australia, but if it's outside of the times that I am at my best to work, then maybe Australia clientele or interviewees are not the best fit for me. And like, that's okay. There are 8 billion people in the world. Like, you could do okay by not having everybody in Australia on the podcast. Not saying
Yeah.
anything bad against Australia, but it's about what are the parameters and boundaries of how you work best And that's going to be the best thing for your show or for your business. And so if that's outside of those parameters and it's too much headache, I always look at that and go, okay, how many more of these do I want to do before I make some decisions on, do I do this and this is now part of my process? Or do I kind of cut that off and say, hey, look, I can't interview people in Australia because it's outside of my podcast recording times, right? So yeah. That's the other thing that came to mind. And then the third, as far as vetting and things go. So when I have had, again, I'm really a big fan of my own process here, where if somebody reaches out and is like, hey, I'm reaching out on behalf of so-and-so and they would love to be a guest on your show. I go, okay, great. Here's the steps. Have them and you join the group, answer the questions to get in, then find the featured post, fill that out, schedule the time, and we're good to go. Right. And it's up to that assistant to make sure that that person is up, knows all those things and is prepared and ready to go. And so I haven't had any problems with that because of the system I've put in place. Whereas if I was like, oh yeah, let's try to get you scheduled and all this stuff, I think it'd be a different ballgame. But because I'm like, how bad do you want it? I'd love to have you. Here's my process. You got to join the group, answer the questions to get in the group because it's closed, right? Answer those questions to get in the group, find the featured post, fill out the information, schedule your date. And we opened up our morning slots because we were booked out till September. And so I have people being like, you're booked out till September. And I'm like, yep, we are filling up to the end of the year. But I also opened up some morning slots so that more people could come in and we could utilize that. But the truth of it is I will do a post and like find a guest, be a guest on Facebook. And I'll say, hey, I'm looking to interview business owners. I would love to interview you. If you feel like you'd be a good fit, let's talk. And I will get 800 comments. The last time I did that, I had 1200 total comments across 6 different groups that I posted in. And the Facebook group grew by 400 and we booked out till September. So when you're running your numbers, you're like, okay, I just reached out to 1200 people, said they were interested. A quarter of them actually came into the group and 15% actually scheduled. That tells me everything I need to know, right? So that process that I have is really great at helping vet who's in and who's not. And then we do promotional materials and all these other things. And so I find that the business owners who are scheduling for themselves, who have gone through that process, they're excited about it. They're going to make sure it's on their calendar. They're showing up. If it is for the like assistant, they've made sure that person is prepared and aware. And we reach out a week before and make sure everything's buttoned up. So I haven't had the biggest issue with that, knock on wood, and I'm going to assume it's because of my incredible process.
Yeah, it sounds pretty flawless. And I mean, it's hard to get some, I don't know, like with that in that group, and those groups getting, you get those people and they're into it. So when you tell people September, you're booked out till September, I tell people that sometimes too. And they're like, I don't book till September. And then I'm just like, okay, well then fuck it. Oh, okay. That's too bad for you. Like it's going to stand that I'm going to probably be 4 or 5 months booked out for the most part. So like, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in September. I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to have you on the show. I don't like, if you don't care, like I'm trying to, you know, fill my show. I'm trying to help you out. Like, I'm trying to do a couple things here. Like, if you don't want to, like, that's fine. There's plenty of other podcasts. Like we're talking about, there's a lot of other podcasts. And I have some people that come to me, they say, I want you to ask me about this, this, and this, and this, like ask these questions. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. There's plenty of other podcasts like that will do that. And go to them, they'd be happy to have you, but you're not right for my podcast. And you know, so like I turn away people that could have been good guests, but then and also like I won't do anything after afternoon. It's very, very rarely that I will do a night podcast, like something at night, just because I don't like recording at night. I like the people usually that are available during the day to that's more my audience, is the people that are available to come on during the day and listen. So I like having those kinds of people on. There are people that are available at 9, 10 o'clock in the morning to come on and talk. And I don't know, that's when I like being on. So I hope they are too. And I can be a little flexible with it if they're on the West Coast or something and waking up and it's like 5 in the morning for them. Okay, well, I'll do like noon or something for you, and you can be like 9 o'clock. You can make that. But yeah, I don't know. It is what it is, and it's a lot of trial and error. And it for the most part, I mean, it's a one person job, and it's 50 jobs in one. But yeah, and eventually you can delegate, like you are right now, which is awesome that you get to do that. But I mean, yeah, it's a lot of jobs in one. And it's a lot more than just showing up and hitting record, and then that's it. And then that's the whole thing.
Well,
There's a lot.
I find the guests that say, "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to be doing in September, so like
Right.
this isn't a good fit. I need to be on sooner." In my world, I'm like, "Oh, you're a newbie business owner. You're moving so fast, trying to figure out what's going to work, what's not going to work, that you don't know what your message is going to be in September, and that's totally fine. But I can't help you there. You're not the type of client that I or the type of client or the type of interviewee that I would like to bring onto the show, because I want people who are more consistent, more stabilized, are able to talk about their business. They know where they're at in their business because we talk about the backside of their business. And that's a whole thing too. It's like, if this is a show to come on and self-promote and all those things, great. But my show is we're going to go into the back end of your business. You can self-promote, absolutely, but you got to tell me, hey, how's your like what are you doing in your marketing? What's working? What operational processes have you put in place that have allowed you to grow quickly? How are you using your intuition? And for some people, they're like, oh, I didn't know it was going to be like that. And I'm like, well, we have over 50 that you could have watched and
Right.
discovered is exactly like that. But it's just fascinating to me because I have had people say, I also host summits. And I've had people, I'm booking my October speakers now.
So, question on that real quick. Are you doing virtual or are they in person?
Virtual.
Okay. All right. I have some questions about that, but go ahead.
Sure. So I'm booking my October event now, my speakers now. So we had one in March, we have one coming up in May. Our May speakers are all solidified. And I'm getting my speakers for October. And I have had people who are doing applications for October event. And I've had other people be like, well, that's too far out. I don't know what I'll talk about. I'm like, okay, not the event for you. Well, I really want to talk at it. Great. But that's your call.
Not much. Huh?
The
Yeah.
event's not moving.
Right.
Right? So
Yeah.
And what's nice is at that point, I can say, well, I do have a podcast you could be interviewed on if you wanted to be able to speak there, but we talk about the back end of your business and da 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 da. And so it's nice to have options. But ultimately, if someone's saying, oh, I don't book that far out, I'm like, okay, that tells me kind of where you're at in your business, which is totally fine. That tells me where your priorities are, also totally fine. I'm the type where I'm booked a year out. So I actually just got invited to a lunch next week. And they're like, hey, we'd love for you to come. And I'm like, I'm 6 weeks booked out on like normal calendar stuff. I can't go with a 1 week notice. And
Right.
that's fine. I didn't tell that to them. I said, look, I'm already booked for a service project for another group that I'm with. Sorry, but please think of me for the next one. But I'm like, without notice, I can't make it because I am busy and I am booked. And whether that's through business type of stuff, whether that's through networking, that's through client work, or through doing podcast interviews or recording my podcast or being a guest on podcasts. Like all of that comes into play where suddenly the calendar's filled up. And so if someone is talking to me and like, well, I don't go that far out, I'm like, I don't think you're busy enough.
Right, yeah.
Don't say that, but in my mind, I'm
Well,
like, that's okay. I like you do you wherever you're at, no judgment, but also not a good fit because we are booking clear out till October at this point.
right. And so okay, so then your summits, what's your main objective for the summit? What are you trying to get? What are your people in the summit trying to get out of it? I guess is my question.
Yeah, so the summits, it's the Get Good at Business Summit. Again, there's a theme here. And really, the name says it all. So I have three key intentions for these events. And the first is to really have these events be an excellent resource for entrepreneurs to get good at business. Like, we got to make good on the namesake. And in that, I invite speakers to come within the categories of the I Move method. So I have experts who talk about using your intuition in business. I have experts who talk about marketing and the components of that. So our one coming up in May, we have someone who's speaking about optimizing and monetizing for LinkedIn. We have someone else who's talking about how to grow your YouTube channel to get clients with a small audience, right? So there's some of our marketing. Then we have operational people coming in. So I have someone coming in talking about revenue operations, which is incredible. We also talk about velocity and growth strategies and execution. So we have experts that come in each of these areas within the I Move method. So first and foremost intention of these events is to create a space, a resource for business owners to get good at business, learning from experts within the area of I Move, because once you get good at I Move areas, everything else starts to fall into place. Our
Right.
second intention is to really create a community of business owners to connect with. Our speakers are business owners, our attendees are business owners. So creating an environment where our speakers can connect with each other and with our attendees with each other and with our speakers. And then the third intention of these events is to introduce the I Move method to generate awareness and adoption. Because for a lot of entrepreneurs, they're wondering, what should I do? What is the next thing? There's so many moving pieces. I just want to get good at business so I can get back to why I got into business in the first place. I Move method helps support that. And so if they're aware of the I Move method and are able to learn within the I Move method at these events, then they can get good at business and get back to the heart of why they started. So really, that's the intention behind all of this for the attendees. And for the speakers, the intention is to connect with one another, to collaborate, to network, and then to also be able to reach out and touch their ideal audience of business owners and help support them grow and build their audience there as well.
Are people getting paid or for this, or are they paying to be a speaker or?
So without going into like the full back end details, as a speaker, our speakers get some crazy awesome things that I've never seen any other event do. And in return for that, there is a speaker fee. It's nominal. I'm not in it to make money off of our speakers. It's to cover things like excess Zoom costs, our graphic design, things like that. But yes, it is a pay to play as a speaker, but it's very nominal. So it's really just to cover. And also, I have found that speakers who are willing to pay to speak are more buttoned up in their sessions. They care more about marketing and promoting it. All ships rise, creating that community. And also, they do have a better lead gen system, making their money back with one client based off of what they paid to speak. So, and we did the one in March, and we had several of our speakers say, I've scheduled discovery calls, I've landed clients, my groups have grown, all of these things because they spoke at the event. So it's well worth the ROI.
And I mean that's something that's also important is what is the ROI in everything you're doing? I mean and that gets overlooked sometimes, especially when you're just starting out. But once you get kind of going, it a lot of it becomes ROI based, if in one way or another, whether it's revenue based or whether it's some sort of credibility or learning based thing with the ROI. But I mean, yeah, you kind of have to always look at that bigger picture. And then, so what are you doing with the summits then? Are they going live on something and people tune in to watch it, or is it going up? You put up everybody's summit speech separately, or on YouTube and people can share it, or how's that work?
So the event is ran like a live virtual event. So we have our attendees attend live, hopping on the Zoom call across the 2 days of the event. And then there's an option, a VIP paid ticket option, where they can get the access to the session recordings if they wanted.
Okay. All right. And then, so if they, okay. So can you say that one more time? I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we run it like a live virtual event. So are those who sign up, those who register to attend, they join our Zoom across the 2 days, and they're able to watch our speakers and engage with them and with the other business owners. We have Q&A, we have networking, and then we have the sessions. And or that we do have a VIP ticket option where they can get access to the recordings of the sessions to watch later as well.
Okay. And then so then that's paid for them as well too. The people that are coming to watch is paid as well, correct?
So our tickets are free to attend
Okay.
the summit. We just ask that if you, so for example, anybody watching and listening to this, if you're like, I want to attend the summit, if you go to summit.getgoodatbusiness.com and put Taylor recommended you, then you get your ticket for free.
Oh, okay. I like a code or something. Okay, cool. All right.
And then, but the VIP option with to get access to the recordings is a paid, but it's $49 for over 20 sessions dedicating to getting good at business.
And how long is each person going up for?
So our
Like,
session speakers have options between 20 minutes and 40 minutes.
okay. And then you're splitting this up into 2 days. So how many speakers do you have, and how long is each day kind of about?
Yeah, so we run the event from 9 a.m. to 4 Mountain Time. We do have lunch and breaks and things put in there. We average about 10 speakers per day across the 2 days.
Okay. And are you in a mountain area, in
Yes,
mountain time zone?
I am in Utah.
You're in Utah. Whereabouts in Utah?
Salt Lake City.
Oh, okay. Okay. I used to live there. Did we talk about that already?
No, we haven't.
Oh, okay.
I'm
Yeah,
sure we
I
could. I'm sure we could definitely. Salt Lake's its own beast. We'll just say that. There's a reason
Yeah.
why I'm doing virtual events.
Yeah. We could talk about that maybe. So yeah, Salt Lake City, beautiful place. Beautiful place. Yeah, I had a store there. I had a vintage store there for a little bit.
Nice.
But yeah, it was Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City. Okay. So yeah. Are you from Salt Lake City then?
I am. I did spend some time out in California doing some radio gigs and things like that. I lived in St. George, Utah for a while and then came back.
What brought you back this way or that way?
Honestly, just a family support system.
Okay, cool.
I moved out when I was 20. I moved out to LA and did the radio gigs. And then the radio gigs turned into being able to work from home. So we moved to St. George, where my husband's family was. We were there for several years. And then I was like, I miss my family. And so we moved back.
Okay. And yeah, so what kind of radio were you doing? What was the radio like? Were you trying to think what you would be on? And I don't know. I don't know. I'm interested. I'm interested for what kind of radio.
When I was in college, I was the GM of my college radio station and had a our highest rated show with my co-host. And my professor actually worked for a company called Metro Networks that did on-air traffic reporting. So he got me a job as a producer, meaning that I would go and I would find all the information using the Utah Highway Patrol website. We had a helicopter in the sky, being able to check traffic, and I would take all of that information, put it into our system so it could be read on air by our traffic reporters. And in that, I also got to be a traffic reporter. So I was a traffic reporter and producer for that company. And then when I moved out to LA, actually, I was for that company and they moved to a hub and spoke model. And so I did traffic reporting and producing for Salt Lake and for Portland out of LA.
Oh, Salt Lake in Portland.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm in Portland. Yeah, I'm from Portland, so
Oh,
it's
nice.
yeah. So it's another one of those ones, like, well, it's this nice place.
When we were doing traffic for Portland, the hardest part for me was having to discuss like bridges and, the bridge went up, so the road stopped and like all of those kind of things. Where here in Salt Lake, it was like, oh, it's slow and go on I-15 due to an accident on the right side. Like, all of these types of deals, it's a little bit different when there's like, and the bridge is up.
Yeah, someone's driving 40 and someone's driving 110, and the person's driving 110 is in the right lane, and the person who's driving 40 is in the left lane. Plan accordingly when you're driving on the 15 there. Yeah, that 15, there was a few times. You just gotta know how to drive. You gotta know how to drive through it. That's how it works. That's the system that's put in place there for how it is, and you go along with it.
100%.
So then where do you, I guess, where do you get your burgers there in Salt Lake City? What's your burger spot? Because there's one that I don't know. I guess, yeah.
Oh, I have a feeling you're going to say Lucky 13. No, okay. So actually I'm a big burger fan, but I don't necessarily have a favorite spot. So like there was one week several years ago where I had a different burger from a different restaurant every night because I was just craving the meat. But I don't have a favorite burger spot. I will say I do thoroughly enjoy crispy fries from any of the Greek-owned burger spots. So Apollo Burger, Crown Burger, like those, the crispy fries and fry sauce with their hamburgers are pretty solid.
Okay. Apollo or Crown. Okay. You don't do Astro?
I was gonna say there's three, and I couldn't remember the third.
Okay.
So there's three that are owned by a Greek family here in the Utah area. And so Astro, Apollo, and Crown are owned by the different sons. So they're all owned by the same family.
Oh. Interesting. Okay. Cool.
So they're all kind of the same.
Okay, I didn't know that. That's an interesting one. There's always longer lines at some though. Yeah.
Apollo has really taken off. They've become more franchisey chainy here as of the last couple of years. But Astro and Crown are pretty still solid.
Okay, cool. Yeah. All right. So then now we got talking about burgers. It's probably getting about time to get some lunch and get you out of here. So where are people going to find you in the internet world or the world or wherever?
Absolutely. Well, I am blessed enough that all of my social handles are Get Good at Business, so not hard to remember. Getgoodatbusiness.com is where you can find out more information. And since I spoke about the summit, if you go to summit.getgoodatbusiness.com, you can check out there our May event, say Taylor, and you get free tickets. And if you're listening to this following May and you're like, well, I still want to know, we do have our October one coming up, and that link will still work, and it will just have the October event information. So go to summit.getgoodatbusiness.com and you can find out more about me and the summit and over 20 expert speakers in the I Move method, all there.
Awesome. All right. Well, hey, well, thank you for having me on. I enjoyed getting to talk to you about what we didn't know what, but we got to talk about what we got to talk about, and I'm happy we got to talk about that. So thank you so much, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. All right.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rusty.
You bet. All right. Taylor Proctor. Check her out. Easy to remember. Easy to remember that stuff. So thank you, everyone, for listening. If you want to check me out, RustyDiamond.net or hypnosisisgreat.com. Easy to remember too. It's all about that easy. Don't make the shit hard. Don't make shit hard. It's okay. And thank you everyone for being here, listening, watching, whatever you're doing. And that is the show. Man. Boom.
It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker. It's Rusty Diamond, motherfucker.